From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and it is Friday, and we're going to get started right away with our reporter roundtable, where we talk about what's been making news across Illinois. Today, we're focusing on the Quad Cities and Bloomington Normal, the Twin Cities. Joining us now to talk through what's happening in the Quad Cities is Rachel Duckett, a host and reporter at WVIK. She works there as part of a postgrad news fellowship. Rachel, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thank you.
And listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we tape this part of our roundtable on Thursday afternoon, so we're not taking calls live at the moment, but you will be able to call in about 10 minutes. 800-222-9455 is the number for that. So, all right, Rachel, let's start with, I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember that terrible building collapse that happened in Davenport in late May, and we've learned the root cause of what caused that partial collapse. What happened there?
So basically, earlier this month, the city released a report. They had contracted some engineering firms to figure out, I guess, what happened with the building. And they released the report on the city's website. They didn't hold a press conference or really talk much about it, but it's a long report. Our reporter, Michelle O'Neill, went through it, and basically, they found that work had been done on the building shortly before the collapse, and that contracting work was bad or was basically was kind of shoddy work and compromised the rear, like, load-bearing wall of the building, and that was what led to the collapse.
Wow, shoddy cut. So when you said the city didn't really have a news conference or anything like that, do people get the sense that the city was trying to downplay it in some way?
I'm not sure. I mean, it hasn't been so much a part of the conversation. I know we tried to reach out to them and the engineering firms, and they weren't available for comment or, you know, to answer any questions. So, I mean, it was definitely interesting. They released this big report, and then, you know, when we called and emailed, they were like, no one's available.
Yeah. Huh. You'd think with a news story of that, I mean, that made national news when it happened.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. So were there recommendations in the report about, you know, sort of where do things go from here? Maybe that's the question.
I think there's still a lot of, I think the people that were living there, I mean, there's, you know, a few different legal cases that are impending, but I'm not really sure what comes next. I mean, I'm sure there's an answer. I might just not know it.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
I think that people are still kind of trying to figure out if Andrew Wald, who is the building owner, is at fault. And I think it'll play out for a few years for sure.
In court. Yeah, no doubt. All right, so let's shift topics now. There's to a federal prison in Thompson, Illinois, which is in the region of the Quad Cities. This was built as a state prison. It was never really used. It sat empty for years, beginning to sort of slowly break down. And then finally, there was a move to have the federal government buy it and open it. And now there are some major changes coming to what is now the federal prison in Thompson. So what's happening there? What's changing?
So there was a lot of issues with the prison while it was a high-security prison. And a bunch of stuff came out, you probably know about in the past. And the Bureau of Prisons decided to move all the high-security inmates out, convert it to a low-security facility. And I think they're planning to bring in like 1,000 more inmates, and they're going to cut some positions as well. So it's an interesting move for them.
Yeah, no, definitely some of the problems I know, and I think we've talked about these on the show, that there were abuse allegations, prisoners being beaten by officers while in shackles, mm-hmm. and a dangerous lack of mental health care for people there. So a new day, though, for the people for people who work at Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, the people that work there, I think, at least union leaders, I think, are pointing out a few issues with the plan. First, that there was a retention bonus for the employees that the Bureau wants to cancel. And so I think the employees may feel like they're not going to be paid enough. And then they're cutting positions. And I think there's also a concern that maybe there won't be enough space for programs that will teach inmates job skills and whatever. They don't have the infrastructure for the low security prison with this many inmates. They're not changing the infrastructure from the prison setup that they had before,
which was a very high security prison previously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a different topic, although somewhat related to prisons, we spoke last time with one of your colleagues about a murder trial that's happening in your region of Henry Dinkins. What can you just briefly remind us, what is that trial about and what's happened since our last update?
Yeah, so it's really heavy. It's Henry Dinkins was charged with first-degree murder and kidnapping for the murder of a 10-year-old girl named Breija Terrell from Davenport. And she was in his care. He is her brother's father, but not her father. And the brother was going over to have a to stay over at Henry Dinkins and his girlfriend's apartment, and Breija tagged along, and that's when she went missing. And this trial's dragged on that was in 2020 when that happened. And then they found her body, I think, like 8 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, they finally announced the verdict. They basically, in the past few years, it had been very up and down. He was going to have he needed a new attorney, and then he going to have a jury trial in, I think, Linn County, and then he said, no, I want a bench trial, and came back to Scott County, and so that was this trial, and the judge took kind of longer than I think people were expecting to announce the verdict, and I was there the day that they announced the verdict, and it was very powerful. He basically said that he waited to announce the verdict because the case was so intense, he wanted to read his whole written statement, so he wanted to have it done so he could read it all in court, and he said that he found Dinkins guilty of first-degree murder and kidnapping. So yeah, it was a interesting day, and it was tons of people there. They had to have two courtrooms. They had one with family and media, and they had another one where they were live-streaming the trial. It was, it was interesting.
And so next, in that case, will be sentencing, I presume, for Mr. Dinkins.
Yeah, so sentencing is set for October 11th. And it was really an interesting trial because the brother who was there that night testified at the trial. And he had testified during the trial. He said for the first time that he had seen Henry Dinkins shoot his sister, which was a huge surprise to everybody. And then the judge in his statement said he choked up a couple times getting through it, and he really commended the brother who's younger than Breija. He was 8 years old at the time, and now he's 11, and said that he was very brave and that he played, just a huge role in getting justice for Breija, but then also said that he found all the evidence or all the testimony credible during the trial except for that one point that the younger brother had seen the murder happen.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we will continue. I'm sure next time we speak with you or one of your colleagues, we'll get an update on that. All right. Well, Rachel Duckett, thank you for being with us and sharing what's been happening in the Quad Cities with us today on the 21st show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
And this is, again, the 21st show back live. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are continuing our Friday Reporter Roundtable, now turning to the communities of Bloomington Normal. Joining us is Charlie Schlenker, senior reporter at WGLT. Charlie, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Brian. Glad to be here.
Listeners, as ever, you're welcome to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. So, Charlie, the state, I understand, is going to be funding a traffic study around Illinois State University. What prompted that?
There were a couple of fatalities in recent years. A couple years ago, just in the gloaming in the fall, a student was walking across a busy area of campus at rush hour, or what passes for rush hour in Bloomington Normal, and was struck by a vehicle and died. And then last year, a faculty member was walking along a lesser traveled way in campus and was struck and killed by a bicyclist. So there's been attention to it since then. There have been some traffic counts done historically, but they want to update those. They want to look at the designs of the intersections where there are problems. They want to do focus groups showing student concerns, and the engineering work can get pretty pricey. So the local match is about $90,000, and the state grant is $360,000 or so. It'll be a few years. Traffic studies are not simple, and redesigns of intersections are even more expensive, and the engineering work can get pretty ticklish.
Yeah, although you think of all the places in Illinois where pedestrians really ought to have the right-of-way and they're just sort of massively overwhelmed vehicular traffic, college campuses are those places.
That's one aspect, but there's also student behavior as well. Sometimes it's like a game, like the old game of Frogger, where there's not a lot of adherence to traffic signals. That was not the case in either of these two fatalities, but certainly that is a factor, and law enforcement has kicked up, start of the semester, jaywalking enforcement, in fact. There have also been some measures taken by Illinois State University on campus to suggest to the student body that they should dismount. There are dismount zones prominently signed at various choke points around campus, with a bridge across a major thoroughfare, and with some of the gateways to the university, which constrict traffic. You're supposed to dismount your bicycle, or get off your electric skateboard, or your electric unicycle, or whatever you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell listeners, stay tuned on this, because next Tuesday we're planning to have a conversation with a national reporter about all of these issues, right? The rise in bad driving we've seen nationally, lower traffic enforcement, pedestrians being killed by vehicles, and other big picture transportation issues. That's coming up next Tuesday. While we're on the subject, though, Charlie, of Illinois State University, I understand trustees have selected a hiring and consulting firm to help find the next president of that university. What reactions have you been hearing to that approach from officials there?
Well, the last two president, two out of the last four presidents have not lasted very long at ISU, and search firms have been used in those, most of those, three out of the four. And frankly, that's the industry standard in higher ed anymore. 30 years ago, they didn't use search firms so much. 50 years ago, it was about 2%. Now it's above 94% of all the high-level academic openings using search firms. Some people are suspicious of search firms. Some people have not had any reservations. They point to various points at which a search can go wrong, or ways in which you can err and hire a candidate who doesn't work out. So it is expensive, though. ISU has used search firms 13 times in recent memories, and those 13 times have cost about $1.1 million, and that's not unusual for many campuses.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think the last thing we may have time to talk about is it's sticking with the university theme, but the Student Government Association there is looking for a renter rights ordinance in Normal. What problems are they trying to solve with that?
The problem is that the student apartment management industry, property management industry in town, is dominated by three big firms. And those firms don't have policies that say they will let you know ahead of time before they are coming in to show the apartment to a prospective new tenant. Now, all of the apartments designated for student housing tend to turn over every year, so they can give it a spit and polish. And so there's a compressed period of leasing. When students, high school graduating students and their parents and decide where they're going to go. They tend to visit. They tend to nail down a lease. So there's a compressed period where that happens in the spring and early summer, and it can get kind of hectic, as it does on many campuses. So they, if you don't get noticed, you could be in the shower, you could be asleep, you could be in shorts and cooking, and all of those things have happened. And if you don't know they're coming, you can be taken aback. You can feel like your space is invaded. You can feel a little insecure. So they want 24 hours notice. The landlord, the property management companies aren't too keen on this. They think it would be a burden to them, although it's difficult to get a public response from them.
Although that exists in other communities. You looked at some other college towns briefly.
Other university towns certainly do. Evanston has one. DeKalb has one. Urbana has one in your neck of the woods. So it does happen. There's some resistance and some acceptance that, yeah, notice is reasonable. How much notice, whether it's 24 hours, 12, or 4, that has yet to be worked out. But it looks like the students are making a major push to the Normal Town Council to get this done.
All right. Charlie Schlenker, senior reporter at WGLT. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
After a short break, we're going to come back and continue our Friday roundtables, turning next to politics. We'll be talking with Linda Kenyon, Illinois Public Media's Washington correspondent, and then after that, Jeremy Gorner with the Chicago Tribune about what's been happening here in Illinois. That's all coming up after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.